You may be seated. And while you're sitting down, if you'll excuse me, I'm just going to get comfortable too. I mean, you guys know this story, right? It's late. Is it okay if I sort of phone it in here and I just get a little comfy? Okay. I mean, you guys, you've heard this story your whole life, right? Comes around so many times. We're so comfortable with it that many of us could just about do it by heart, right? It's sweet and it's expected. I mean, the adult Jesus, he has some sort of challenging things to say. He gets pretty political pretty often with all that the first shall be last and the last first stuff. That's kind of rough. But a baby in a manger, what's not to love? A baby we can all get behind, right? This attitude was perhaps best exemplified by the fictional NASCAR driver played by Will Ferrell in The Legend of Ricky Bobby. Some of you have seen it, right? Ferrell's character begins his table prayer pointing out that he liked the Christmas Jesus the best. So he starts his prayer, "Dear tiny Jesus, with your gold fleece diapers." But soon he's interrupted by his father-in-law, who argues, "No, Jesus was a man, right? He had a beard, okay?" But Ferrell's character is adamant. "I'm the one saying grace, and I like the baby version the best." So he starts the prayer again. "Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet. Thank you for all your power and your grace, dear baby God. Amen." And I get it. What's not to love about a baby, right? A baby in a manger, especially on a night like tonight with all the beautiful music and the candles. It all has the feeling of tradition and being completely comfortable. But as nice as comfort sometimes is, it's not always helpful. I mean, I'm pretty comfortable right now up here. I'm basically wearing a blanket with sleeves, so it doesn't get much better than this. It doesn't get much more comfortable when you're vertical. But I think maybe from some faces I'm seeing, I'm realizing that perhaps my Snuggie may not really be appropriate for every situation, is it? Hardly. In fact, I bet my being comfortable up here is pretty distracting to some of you, isn't it? Okay, well, let's get rid of the Snuggie then. Because being too comfortable can make us miss things, can't it? That certainly goes for the Christmas story. As familiar and comfortable as this story has become to us, I think we maybe miss some things because this story ought to be shocking. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus, which tells us straight away that this story takes place under Roman rule, and not just any Roman rule, but the rule of the man first known as Gaius Octavius, the great nephew and the adopted son of Julius Caesar. Now, he didn't go by Octavius for long because he was maybe the most capable and effective emperor in Roman history, and so they gave him plenty of titles as time went on. The one we hear in Luke, the title, was Augustus, which means something like revered one. And that's sort of a religious title more than it is a political one. But before he was ever declared Augustus, he had another title, and this was one he gave himself, Divi Filius, son of the divine, it means. Son of God was the title this emperor chose for himself. So right away then, Luke starts this story by letting us know that at the height of one of the largest and most powerful civilizations in the world, when the Roman Empire stretched from Spain and England all the way to India, when Rome had its most capable leader maybe ever, who just happened to claim he was the Son of God, that's when this story takes place. That's what's happening in the world when Jesus is born. There's something subversive there, isn't there? that in the face of such power held by an emperor who claimed to be God's son, God shows up, but not with an army of angels to take down Emperor Augustus, not with fire or wielding a sword, but as a baby. That's unexpected, isn't it? But what a move by God. You think you're hot stuff, Augustus? Check this out. I'll show up as a baby and still be the King of Kings. So from the get-go, what we have here in this story is something subversive, something political, something unexpected. And the angels pick this theme right up again, because it turns out the emperor, he's not the only one with titles. The angels announce that born this day in the city of David is a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. They just happen to let it drop that Jesus is born in the hometown of the greatest king of Israel, David. And, oh yeah, did we mention that he's the Messiah, meaning the one who has been anointed to rule? And in addition to that, he's the Savior. Now that term's a little bit curious, because we hardly ever hear Jesus called Savior in the Gospels. But you know who did present himself as the Savior of the people every chance he got? The Emperor. So wow, do you see what's happening here? We're getting this baby Jesus being presented in direct contrast to the whole power structure of the known world. A baby presented here as an alternative narrative about what's really going on in the world, about what power really looks like. That's pretty unexpected, isn't it? But it doesn't end there. Because who do the angels make their announcement to? It's not the important folks. No, instead, the announcement comes to some shepherds, some nobodies in a field outside of a nothing town, shepherds who were known to be so unreliable you couldn't even accept their word as testimony in court. That's who the angels announce this news to. So when you pull back and look at all this, if you can break through the level of comfort we've developed around this story and this night, it turns out that this is actually a scandalous, dramatic, rebellious little story that's anything but predictable. And with all these unexpected twists, by far, the biggest surprise of all is this: that the God who willed the universe into being, who literally could have anything that could be desired or imagined, the God enthroned in highest heaven and worshiped continually by the multitude of the heavenly host, that God chose not to exploit all of this power, but to empty himself, to be born in human form, to open himself up to all the vulnerability and pain in the world, all for the sake of being with you and with me. No matter how familiar this story sounds, how comfortable with it we might have become by now, this still ought to be completely shocking, that despite all the ways that you have failed, despite all the ways we are inadequate, despite all the flaws that God knows perfectly well, despite it all, God is born among us anyway. Simply because God loves us so much that God can't stay away. What surprising good news.